Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and Bethany's not with me today. We're on holidays. I know last episode we said we would not do an episode for this week because we take a break. But in reality, we are taking a break. So I'm just doing this little intro. But I was able to do an interview a little while back. Unfortunately, I had some technical issues and had to do a lot of editing, and I didn't think it was going to get out. And I really need to apologize because I was so excited for the interview. It is with Tiana Weberly. And I was, this is a person I wanted to talk to for a long time. If you don't know Tiana, she's famous for an American Ninja Warrior, one of the original female ninjas and one of the best. And she has broke into our world, kind of say, no, I dabble in ninja, but for the most part, we'll hybrid and OCR. So recently she has crossed over to the OCR doing the 100 meters at the FISO Championship in Belgium, as well as at OCRWC in Mammoth. And since after this interview, we didn't get a chance to talk about it because it hadn't happened. She recently did a High Rocks doubles in LA and did pretty well. So yeah, this is she's a hell of an athlete, a great person. And like I said, OG Ninja, sweet tea, Tiana Weberly. The reason that, well, obviously the reason I'm going to talk to you because you went out to Mammoth, but the real reason is you are my son's all-time favorite female ninja.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's so
no.
cool. Oh.
He started following you and JJ and Flip back when you guys were all Team Ronin. He would have been like 12 or
Totally.
13 years old then. And
Oh, that's awesome. I miss the Team Ninja. That was so fun.
it was cool. It was a lot of fun. Why don't we just talk ninja first? So you came in back, what was it, like season seven-ish?
Yes, that was my first season 7.
All right, and how did you get on board?
Through Flip, pretty much. I mean, I first found out about Ninja actually through my dad. I was looking for something to do after finishing college. I did pole vault, sorry, my words. Pole vault throughout high school and college, and was just excited to find something to train for. And my dad sent me the show or Casey Catanzaro's run specifically and was like, hey, check this out. I think you'd like this. And I was like, whoa, that looks really fun. And so Googled, Ninja Warrior, and Tempest popped up, and went to an open gym and met Flip there. And yeah, ended up starting to train with him, and it was a blast ever since. So
What is it with pole vaulting? Like, do you guys all come from pole vaulting?
it's a good transition, apparently. I dig it.
I mean, I guess like theoretically, I mean, it's going to take great grip strength, good body awareness, lots of agility, all that stuff. So, I mean, it's unusual, but it seems like an odd spot. You never hear of a pole vaulter until you watch Ninja, and then everybody came from pole vaulting.
Totally. Yeah. And a lot of gymnasts come to pole vault. It seemed like there was a lot of gymnastics transitioning to pole vaulting. And then, yeah, pole vault, I guess, goes to ninja as well. So it's yeah, all that body awareness, I think it does make sense. So, and the strength and core strength and all that.
It has changed so much, though. Sport of ninja has changed so much. So I used to compete in some of the master's classes. So
Okay.
my son wanted to get into it. So I'm like, yeah, we'll do it together, right? It was a lot of fun. And
Nice.
I look at it now, and I haven't changed that much. But there is no way I could compete with, like, every now and again I would go to a local competition, and I'd usually do really well. Maybe win the over 40 division and stuff like that. Every once in a while, maybe even sneak on a regular podium. I couldn't touch them now. Like, they are on a whole different planet. You guys have evolved the sport into something completely different. And I guess the biggest question is, have the kids completely taken it over?
I don't know. I think it just depends on the area you're in too, I guess, or I don't know, or just how you look at it. The kids obviously are doing amazing, which is great. And yeah, I mean, they're doing an awesome job. I don't know, like, taking over is a word. I mean, I guess in a way, but I think they're able to train on it quite often versus I think a lot of the ninjas that I grew up with. Like, we all have other jobs that we're doing and stuff, so we're not playing on the obstacles like every day after school sort of thing. But But it doesn't give them any discredit to like how talented they are and amazing that they're doing at it. So it's cool to watch and just learn from them now, you know, like I know they grew up watching us, but you know, it's awesome to see how well they're doing and just crushing it out there.
Well, I think too, part of it is like you said, you came from pole vaulting. You have like Megan came from rock climbing, and everybody kind of came from some different place. These kids are coming from ninja.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they've done. That's what's been in the backyard. You know, that's what they've been raised with. And that's why I think they are so adapt so early. The question yet to be seen is, will they last? Will so many kids have the staying power? Because, I mean, you know, kids lose interest. They change their minds. They move on. But also, you know, just the body. Does the body hold up as it matures?
Yeah, I think it varies probably based on how each person, how each kid trains. And yeah, if some kids want to try something else after a certain amount of years or whatnot, and then, you know, others, it might, yeah, have an impact on your shoulders. It's a lot of swinging and catching, and those kids are like crushing those huge legers. And so it just, yeah, it depends on, I guess, how each of their bodies react to it. So everyone's different, but it is interesting to see for sure.
Now, how have you held up over the years too? Because you also have like you got the stunt woman job, which is, by the way, it looks like you've been in some really cool movies. I was just taking a quick look. That's a cool job. It looks like it hurts like hell, but it's a cool job.
It has its moments for sure. But you know, I'm grateful. It's always a learning process. Every job is different, and yeah, there's been a few humbling injuries on the way, but I'm grateful to be like pretty recovered right now for the most part. So yeah, it's just, that's kind of similar with like, yeah, everyone's body's different. Every job is different, and some people get injured. Some people like are able to stay healthy throughout it. But yeah, I had a broken collarbone and a broken ankle this past year. So it was a little bit of a humbling year for me. But like I said, everyone kind of goes through like certain ruts here and there. But thankfully, you know, surrounded by really good people, like my coach and gym family, like kind of they helped me train a ton like through it and just come back stronger. And just know a lot of good people in the industry that like, you know that I, you know, can still hit the ground and stuff versus like being written off sort of thing. So yeah, just been really grateful for just all the amazing people behind me, and as well obviously my family first and foremost. They have been there, you know, just day in and day out through it all. So definitely good.
So you said you got a coach there. And I've always kind of been interested in ninja training. Like when we practice, my son and I you know, build some stuff in garage. Occasionally we go to the ninja gyms and just do free play and whatever and learn what we could on our own. But there were probably a lot less resources available when we were figuring it out. I mean, you were probably on the cutting edge of actually building a lot of those resources. How has the training progressed now? Like, is it more regimented? Has it used to just be, let's fly around and play until our calluses rip off or our arms give out?
Mine is definitely regimented. Like I have a coach, Alan Crossgrove. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he is, him and Rachel both own Results Fitness. And so I train there mainly. That's like my main source of training. And then ninja wise, the closest ninja gym I have to me is about, it's over an hour away, and then even longer depending on traffic. So I don't get to really ninja specific train as often, as probably most ninjas do, I guess. But I still like, I'll rock climb. Rock climbing is what I consider my ninja training. So I'll rock climb, usually 2 or 3 days a week. And then, you know, interval training and different stunt trainings is also sprinkled throughout there as well. So, my weeks are pretty sporadic and trainings, but, regiment wise, I consistently at least lift, 3 days a week and then do some running like twice a week. But, and then the rest is kind of, in between, but I don't know. So I don't know how the ninjas that train at the gyms more regularly train, if they have a more specific regimen, or if they still just go and like do course runs, you know, until their hands fall off or something. You know, I'm not quite sure. Cause yeah, when I first started training, I trained like with, for ninja, I was training with Flip, and we were at Tempest. And so we'd be at Tempest maybe 3 days a week. And then the other 2 or 3 days a week, we'd be climbing. So it was still pretty regimented, I guess. But yeah, so that's kind of how my training is and has changed over the years. But
well, you do like, so with your regular, yeah, with your regular training. So then you do a lot of, like, did you say HIIT training, a lot of high intensity interval training, that kind of thing?
Yeah, some HIIT training and then a lot of strength training, like just building a base, you know, because you have to have a base to, in order to like be explosive and all that. So yeah, just depends on the phase that we're in. But yeah, I do 2 to 3 days of strength training and then other interval training or whatnot on the other days. So it's good.
So back a couple of years ago, the competition. So you went out to OCRWC in Mammoth this year. Now, a couple of years ago, out of nowhere, we had Joe Morofsky show up.
Nice.
And he won the first year, which we call the long jump contest, because the way the obstacles were set up, it was, I don't know if you've ever spoke to him about it or how you heard about it, maybe it was from him, but the obstacles were set up really pretty much, if you could get a good jump, you could almost just skip 90% of it and just hit the bell and away you go. So there was a bit of a fiasco. But then the next year they came back and he got it again. But then it was a surprise to see you come out in Mammoth. Did you hear about it through Joe, or how did you end up hearing about it? Because, I mean, it's not a lot of the ninjas know that they have this OCRWC 100-meter course, and they really should, because, you know, it's so well-suited for you guys.
Totally. No, I actually almost competed in it last year, but that was right. I had broken my collarbone like 2 weeks before, so didn't end up coming out last year. And I don't really know how I originally heard about it last year. I think I saw it probably posted on social media or something. I think I was very interested in the 3K as well, because I was like, oh, it's like a shorter but not too long of a race, you know, to run. That was, you know, something other, like, you know, in the meantime while we're waiting for ninja season to come around or something. So I think that's kind of how I initially had found out about the OCRWC in like specifically. But this year it worked out because I was in Belgium for the 100-meter course, mm-hmm, with World Obstacle. And so, you know, having 200 meters, you know, similar competitions like very close together was pretty awesome to, you know, get to train for both. So that's kind of how I heard about it, I guess.
And I was going to talk about the Belgium one thing too, because that's a little bit different, because you actually had to kind of apply to be on Team USA for that, right?
Yes, for sure.
How did you come about that one? Like that one's even more of a process. Mammoth, you could have just scooted up if somebody told you the day before, but Belgium's a process to get to that one.
Yeah. My coach had actually sent me the link for the applications. He had seen the link or known about applications. So sorry.
You're good.
Did it work? Okay, sorry.
You're good.
But yeah, he sent me the application link and, you know, I filled it out. I didn't even, when I got the email that I was accepted, I sent him a screenshot. I was like, is this actually like real or is this a spam? Like, I was just in disbelief that it was actually like happening. So I was very grateful and excited about it. But yeah, that's how I found out about it, was through him. So
I guess we'll start, because it was chronologically, we went over to Belgium. And how did Belgium, because that was, they're two very different competitions. So we went to Belgium. How did it all turn out? Like, what did you think of the course layout and of the whole atmosphere? It's a fairly new thing for this over here, right? Like, this is really kind of the first year of it. So it's interesting to get someone's take who was there firsthand.
I loved the course. I liked that it's standardized. So, you know, we knew exactly what we were training for. And I mean, obviously we didn't have as much practice on it as like some of the other countries that have it in their country, but they did give us a couple practice days, which was cool, you know, so you get to like kind of feel out your steps and your movements. But yeah, the course was awesome. I enjoyed it, and I love the head-to-head racing. You know, and it was like a straightforward, you know, like you didn't have to make circles. So it was just like side by side all the way down 100 meters. the people, like, it was really cool just meeting people from around the, like, around the world, around the country, around the world. And yeah, just getting to run with them and just, you know, see what they're about, you know, and their lifestyles and stuff, kind of. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I know it was, you know, obviously I had a little bit of bumps of, like, organization wise and stuff, but that's, you know, any new sport is going to go through that. So
yeah, we heard there were toilet issues.
Just a little. Yes. Yeah, yeah, that was a rough one. But, you know, like I said, baby steps. It's the first year. It's okay. Yeah, I'm excited for them to hopefully do more and hopefully be a part of it as well. So it was a blast.
Were you surprised about some of the skill level of some of the other countries? Like, the Asian Pacific, they have really been big on this for more years, put it that way. They have a lot more experience. They've been putting it into some of their Pan, like their equivalent to their Pan Am games and things like that. APAC mm-hmm. games, I think they call. Was it a bit of a surprise as to how talented they were and how familiar they are with that course?
I was not surprised because I had been, like, studying a lot of their videos, just trying to learn from them. And then, yeah, getting to see them firsthand, I, you know, it was really cool to just see, you know, see them move through it and try to replicate. Obviously, like, it does help having a little more reps, and I think having more reps would be nice next time, like, if we ever got a course out here, or I even, you know, hopefully maybe I can go train with the Philippines one of these days or whatnot, just to get more practice with them and stuff. But yeah, they were really awesome, really awesome to watch, and just very nice as well, which is always, you know, something about the ninja community that I always liked, is just, like, everyone's so welcoming and helpful, and, you know, you don't have to, like, keep to yourself and, like, you know, have your secrets or anything, you know. It's just everyone's really open and helpful to, you know, just having fun and, you know, doing their best out there. You know, we all want to win, but we all also want to have fun too. So it's cool.
I learned that my son's first competition, we went down to Buffalo, and it's everybody just treated him like gold, like he was a long lost son coming back, and they'd never met him before and from a different country. And it's just that community, and the OCR community is it's the same way. Like, I think these kind of, you know, niche sports, we huddle together and kind of, you know, trying to make it grow, trying to make it bigger.
For sure.
So you went over to Belgium, you had a good time there, and then you went to Mammoth, and it another 100 meter course, and yet couldn't be more different.
Oh, it was way different. but it was good. It was fun. It was, I have not run a whole lot of Spartan races, maybe, I don't know, three or so in my life. And so, yeah, it felt very like a lot of Spartan style obstacles, but I still liked it. Like, it was fun. It was just different, you know, and I, you know, just more practice, I think, is just getting more reps on obstacles in general. I'm a very, like, rep type person, like, a lot of, you know, practice. I practice as much as I can. If I have access to something I want, you know, I would like to get as many reps in as I can usually. But yeah, I still, yeah, it was a good course. It was just, like I said, different than I expected. And, learning to make, like, bigger moves and just be more confident on obstacles, for me at least, because since I don't practice on them as regularly as maybe most people, like, just getting confidence on, like, flowing through them is something that I, like, need to work on. And so, yeah, that's kind of something that I took away from it, I guess, is just moving through and being more bigger moves.
Yeah. Well, two things that struck me on that one that would be difficult for bigger moves was the Olympus. It would be the one. That's not an easy one to make big moves on. It's difficult to make. Yeah. I've done it lots of times, and I've never really found a way to kind of skip or kind of lache a bit. Like, it's hard to find a cheat code on that one. And if you ever find it, please let me know, because I'd love to love to figure it out. And I have yet to get there. Then the only thing that really bothered me about that course was that you did have to make the turn, and the inside lane was shorter. And I was like, I don't really like that. So did you guys, was it like, did you get to choose your lane due to previous times kind of thing?
You did. Yeah. Whatever your seated time, I believe, if you're faster, you got to pick the lane. But they did start us, if you were in the inside lane, you started 5 feet back. So they kind of compensated a little bit for that. Yeah, that Mount Olympus, I was not expecting that to be so slippery. I didn't
Oh, yeah. It...
thought I had done one before, but it definitely wasn't that slick. And I was like, oh, okay, my feet are not being used here.
Well, they changed the material on it, right? So it used to be just like straight painted black plywood.
Okay.
And they put that like almost, I don't know what kind of like carbony plastic material on it, and it if it gets the least bit wet, it is super slick. And
Yeah.
it's changed it completely. It used to be a fairly easy thing when you get so much grip on your shoes on that plywood, and now it's like I said, it's a different world. It's probably their most failed obstacle.
Oh man, wow. That's crazy. I mean, it makes because yeah, it's literally it felt like almost all upper body for the most part. Like unless you can mount your feet up a certain way. But it just I wasn't able to get any grip with my feet, so I kind of just accepted that I wasn't using my feet and just kind of shuffled across as fast as I could. So
I think you've seen like some of the top guys a lot of times. So they predominantly use the holes, and they'll actually a lot of them get really good at going on their knees and doing the crossover and getting a solid crossover on it. Me personally, I always use the chains unless it's soaking wet. I just on the feet chains across, and it seems to work for me. But I don't know. It's like you say, reps.
I mainly use the rock holds probably because I climb for my ninja training is most of just climbing. So I think
Which
I
is funny
mainly
because that's usually considered the worst one to use.
really.
Yeah, as a general rule.
Yeah, I kind of alternate is whatever I saw basically, but I stuck with either the holds or the rock holds. So, whatever my reach was had access to, but it was good. So definitely fun though, regardless. Yeah, cool to see the different style course for sure.
Yeah, the one thing we always told people was if you want to get good at an obstacle, especially like an OCR racer or whatever, volunteer for the day and just sit at one obstacle. And when it's downtime, you just keep practicing and practicing and practicing. By the end, you'll be top notch at
That's smart. Super smart.
And then you participated in the team relay, didn't you?
I did.
Now, the team relay is probably OCRWC's team relay is probably one of my favorite races of all time. How did
Yes.
like who so first off, who is your team?
So I had Casey. He's a teammate from my gym or from and then Joey is one of my friends from Colorado had actually, because our original third person at results wasn't able to make it. So we had another substitute, Joey, which he was the last minute fill-in, and it was awesome to get to meet him and then, run for him. He or run with him. He did awesome with us. So yeah, he's from Colorado. So he's got a lot of good training partners up there and stuff.
The elevation.
Yeah, and the elevation also is probably super helpful. So yeah, it was a blast. I like I said earlier with the Team Ninja, like I love the team stuff. Like I think a lot of my sports growing up and just throughout my life have been more individualized. Like I've been part of a team, but it's like I still just compete individually, like ninja, pole vaulting, and gymnastics. Like it's a lot of individual stuff. So anytime I get to be a part of a team like race, it's just so fun. And I'm just really, I have a blast with it with everybody. So
So what leg did you run? I assume the technical leg.
I did the shortest leg possible because
I think that's usually the technical one.
it ended up being the speed leg.
Oh, that's right. It was a shorter one this year. That was odd. That struck me as strange.
Originally I was going into it thinking I was going to do technical, so I was like, okay, that should be, up my alley. But when I saw how long that one was, I told the guys, I was like, hey, I think I need to do the first shortest leg or whatever. I didn't know which order at the time, which one was the shortest leg. But I'm like, whichever is the shortest, like I've only been training for 100 meters lately. So, my endurance wasn't as far as, going for a couple miles, versus I think it was a mile or so, or a little less than a mile for the first leg. So like, okay, can handle this. But yeah, so it was fun. It was a quick little leg, but it was cool to start us off and stuff. So
They used to have the separation on the team thing, and this has actually been a complaint that we've had for a while. Well, I guess the past few years, but it used to be the separation of speed, strength, and technical was very, very different. So, like, you would you would know what section you were in, because there would be no problem. Like if you were on the strength, you were hauling bags up and down the hill, you were doing big hurricoys, you were flipping heavy tires, you were dragging things, like you knew it was strength. You know, if you hit the technical, it was all technical hanging rigs, a lot of different apparatus, very, very high end stuff. And the speed would be a lot of running. You'd get stuff like hurdles and vaults and more agility type stuff. It was very separate. And most of us long for that to come back because it was just so much fun. Then you'd usually at the end have like one big team obstacle, like a giant slip wall that you'd all have to team up to try to get across together. And we kind of missed that a bit. I'm hoping that they eventually bring it back, but it also does make course design a little more difficult.
But, yeah. I was expecting the last leg to have something, yeah, that required us to work together at something, but it was still cool to like come in together as a team. But yeah, it would have been fun to do, yeah, the giant wall or whatnot that we have to, you know, use, like, you know, climb up or whatever and, you know, pull each other up sort of thing. So, but yeah.
If you watch videos from 2017, Jamie Ron and I'm slipping on her name now. Oh, she's like one of the original ninjas. Michelle Warnke.
Oh, nice.
Jamie Ron and Michelle Warnke, they were both up here. It was in Blue Mountain, Mountain, Ontario, and they were both at that one. And that time it was split up and you had that big wall at the end where nobody got over on their own. You needed to work as a team. So hopefully they bring that back. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So how'd you guys do as a team? You did pretty well.
Yeah, we ended up getting third in the end. So the third place team originally, we were coming into the last leg in fourth, and we saw the third place team and we were able to catch up to them under the cargo net and stuff. And so yeah, we ended up making the podium. So we were pretty stoked for that.
That was a good obstacle. Actually, I like that final obstacle. Sometimes they call it Dragon's Back, but they called it something different there. But anyway, with the triumph, yes. So kind of the leaps of faith and then under the cargo net. And that was a good solid finish.
Yeah, those leaps of faith were interesting. I was not expecting it. I don't know. When I was up there, I was like, wait, this is a weird jump. I don't know how I feel about this. And the other guys, they had already run races. So they just like were cruising through it. I'm like, all right, T, like, come on. Like, we got to go because they're already like going. Like, I can't be the reason why we get behind. But yeah, so it was an interesting one, but it was cool. Once I did one, I was like, all right, we're good.
I don't know if you got a chance to sit and watch, but a lot of times you'll see people just get stuck up there for like 15 minutes, just staring at it, maybe in a minute, you know, just hesitate because it's like a 6-foot jump and yet it looks like a mile.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's for sure. I definitely know that feeling that you're just saying. So, but anyway, if the guys weren't going, I probably would have been up there a few seconds longer. I'm like, okay, T, let's go. Don't chicken out now. But it was fun.
And I guess we were remiss in saying too, you got second as well in the 100 meter, did you not?
Yes.
It was a good weekend. It was worth it.
Thanks. Yeah. No, it definitely was worth it. I'm super grateful to be there. Mammoth is one of my favorite places anyways. So I was stoked when I saw that it was in Mammoth. I feel bad for you guys because it's like so far from you.
That's why we weren't there this year. It was just too much. Like it's tough to get there.
Yeah, for sure. But it's beautiful. If you come next year, it's super beautiful. It's a, you know, so yeah, I'm just grateful. It was a great competition and yeah, I had a great time. I'm thankful to have performed well and have like an awesome team behind me that like got me there. So definitely grateful for sure.
So if you're thinking comparisons between the one and the other, between Belgium and between Mammoth, obviously, like say, very similar yet completely different. Either one strike you as something that you preferred or that were you going to go back to both kind of deal? Because I guess Belgium won't be in Belgium next year. It's going to be in Costa Rica, actually. Mm-hmm. And so are these on your hit list or is this something you're coming back to?
Yeah. I mean, as of right now, they're definitely both on my hit list. I'd love to do both. I really enjoyed both of them for sure. So yeah, hopefully that's my answer. So hopefully both. I hope I don't have to pick one over the other, but yeah, it was good.
They none of that. They don't have them the same time, so you'll be all right with that. You could have. I imagine it'll. From what I've heard, Costa Rica will be in August, and I know CRWC is always kind of that, right around that same time, like early October, kind of deal, late September, depending on it. But yeah, there's time to hit them all. Definitely.
Cool.
But that's awesome. And so is like, did you like catch the OCR bug? I guess you got to keep your first band.
Yes. Is that because usually if you miss an obstacle, you have to cut your band, right? Yeah. Right. So yeah. I did. Yeah, the 100 meters, we were allowed retries, I guess, if we missed it. But and then my obstacles on the speed leg, they were just like jumping over a couple logs and like through. I don't know the names of these obstacles. I'm sorry. I'm, like I said, new to outdoor OCR.
They change them all the time and they give them the weirdest names.
Okay, cool. So jumping through a box thing and then up and over a wall and along this rope. So it was pretty straightforward, the obstacles that I had at least. So I didn't really have to worry too much about missing them, thankfully. Just had to get, you know, around back to the team to give them the handoff of the wristband. So it was cool.
There's been some years, like over in England, the 15K had 100 obstacles on it. And just to make it through with your band at all was just like, and it was also because it was England, it was just a sloppy, muddy mess. So to get through with your band was very different. How did it feel? And actually, I'm kind of curious at this because, you know, I noticed the difference if I go from the Ninja Gym out to OCR, but like no chalk, not what you would call ideal conditions all the time, you know, just how did that feel as a difference from you? Like, did it affect you at all? Or just fly through it and not worry about it?
It's definitely a little different, like the like terrain, like for like shoe wise, like I was like, well, my ninja shoes aren't going to do me well here. I actually tried them on one of my runs for the Mount Olympus to see if they would stick at all, but nah, they didn't.
Nothing
do anything.
Sticks to that thing.
Because you're running through dust anyways, so it's like you have dust on your shoes to get to the obstacle. But and then I never trained with chalk, or I usually don't train with chalk unless I like had to put lotion on right before or something, then I'll put a little on. But I try not to train too much with chalk just because I don't want to be used to it since we're not allowed with it on the show. But the textures of the OCR obstacles are slightly different than ninja obstacles. So it is like kind of a little bit of a feel thing, but for the most part, not too bad. But yeah, slightly different for sure than the inside, you know, a little bit stickier obstacles or whatnot, or on the show, like they'll usually have some kind of like, I don't know, textured bars or something on ninja, like just to make it look pretty probably, but it's like somewhat, it's grippier than it looks sometimes on the show. Like I feel like it's going to look super slick, but then you grab it and I'm like, oh, this is a good hold. But when the Spartan style stuff, it's like metal, you know, it's just like straight metal and usually a little wider. And so it's just getting used to that, like, you know, bigger grips sort of thing. But yeah, I like it. It's a new challenge.
And I guess actually Ninja, you guys have actually competed out in the rain a few times.
Yeah, definitely. I actually got a rerun once on the show because there was just like pouring during when my run, and they literally saw my feet just go whoop, and they're like, yeah. And so they let me go again later, but didn't make too much difference, honestly, but I was grateful for the rerun. So that's okay.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people don't realize too, like, just how much of a show that is.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, like, if you've been to like a UNAA or an NNL, sorry, it's not NNL now, it's WL, I think it is, or WNL.
WNL, I think, yeah.
I got lost in acronyms. But but yeah, compared to one of those events, just how much ANW, the American Ninja Warrior, is a show. It's a game show compared to those are like legit competitions, like true competitions. No.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's definitely reality TV, and I always have to like remind myself that sometimes. Like, it's just a show. It's not even, you know, I mean, obviously you still want to do well. It's like any competitive athlete, regardless if it's a show or not, you still want to compete well. But yeah, it's for fun. I'm grateful for the opportunity and to hopefully be a light out there. So, you know, I'll probably compete as long as they have me on there. You know, but if I don't get called for some reason, you know, it's not the end of the world. I'm grateful for all these other competitions to be a part of and just hopefully be light in that way and just have awesome people to train with behind me and all that. So, yeah, but it's cool that there's so many leagues now that the show isn't, it used to be only the show. And that was like once a year. And if you don't do well, you're done for the year. And then you got to wait the whole next year. But now it's like, obviously it's still a bummer if you don't do well for, you know, any time, but you know, you learn from it and then you still have things to look forward to and to train for and aim for, like so many more goals to have, sort of thing. But yeah.
It's interesting that you say it just made me think of one thing, and this was probably a question from ages ago. But how do you feel? Cause with those two different leagues, there used to be what was the NNL and it was a one and done. And then the UNAA was a point system where you missed an obstacle, you go on and you gather points. What do you feel is the better layout, the better system for competition?
I mean, I feel like if they're trying to stick truer to Ninja, I guess the one obstacle miss like makes more sense, I guess, or I guess would be more relatable to the show, but it is nice to have, like, if you're going to fly out all the way for a competition, if you accidentally slip on the first obstacle or something, like, it's nice to have a retry or, like, the three. I don't know the exact rules of UNAA, but, like, I think you get three tries, right? So it gives you more attempts than if you're just on the obstacle for, like, 5 seconds and then you flew all the way across the country for this, you know? So, and then it just gives you more time on obstacles regardless. Like you get to practice more. If you're missing it, it gives you another try to learn and, you know, see how you can fix it versus, okay, maybe I'll see that obstacle again one day, you know, years from now, if it's just like a one and done. So I think I like the UNAA that you get to do that. But, you know, there's pros and cons to both, I think, and just whatever everyone's preference is. But I haven't competed in either league in a while just because of like scheduling and all that lately. But yeah, they're both good in their own ways for sure. So
I agree. And I lean towards the UNAA one as well, just because, and again, this was where my son got a chance to meet you in Hartford. And what a massacre that was.
It was
like, I mean, the pros, I mean, I think I remember like 5 made it to stage 2, something like that. But like I competed in the master's division and we had 2 people get to the third obstacle.
Oof.
And it was, so I was like, maybe they might want to revamp this one or give it some extra consideration. But yeah, so that leaned me towards the UNAA rules going, yeah, maybe, especially when you're driving kids 9 hours to go to stuff. I thought, yeah,
totally. Yeah, I mean, especially for families and parents, it's like, yeah, those flights aren't cheap for you guys, the hotels and everything to like get there, and to have be done in like 5 seconds on the course is a bummer sometimes. So
yeah, that was so, me, yeah. Actually I bid it on the first one, but I had lots of company, so I didn't care.
Yeah, that was the one with the steps that rotated, right?
Yeah.
Down on those two. I just get through. It was like, man, this is crazy.
And I didn't, well, for me, what happened was I jumped and, you know, should have led with the left foot, but kind of led with the right foot. So when the right foot hit it, it twisted it out of the way and went back. And so my other foot just grazed the ground and that's all you get. I saw a lot of the people too, because those ones, they were wobbly too. So they would tip over if you hit it too hard. And yeah, sometimes an obstacle is a miss.
Yeah, it's all good.
It happens. But anyway, my son will be very jealous. And that was the whole point. So,
oh, I'll tell him to say hi.
Suck it, Jeff. Your problem.
Oh,
he's 22 now. He's all right.
Okay.
20, right. He's 20. The other one's 22.
Oh, my goodness. Growing so fast, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you guys did inspire him. When he first watched ANW and saw you guys on there, like I said, specifically yourself, JJ, and Flip, nice. He appealed to him. And he was 12 and he came to me and he said, I'm going to be an American Ninja Warrior. And I'm like, dude, let's do it. Let's go. Unfortunately, I didn't have to tell him at the time Canadians couldn't do it.
Oh, no.
That's all right. It doesn't matter. That was problems for the future date.
Oh, man. Crazy.
But yeah, you guys definitely inspired him. And thank you for that, because it was nothing but good for him. He actually is a coach out in Calgary now. So, yeah. So you guys, just so you all know, you do help.
Oh, I'm super grateful for that. So thanks for telling me. But I'm glad he's coaching and stuff still. That's awesome. So very cool.
All right. And we hope to see you back out on the OCR course and bring more ninjas with you, because I want you guys to come out and dominate those 100 meters, because the more you come out, the better it's going to get, the more publicity, just the more the sport will grow, just like when we all come out to ninja and just keep growing them, both obstacle sports in general.
Totally. Yeah, I've already had a couple ninjas reach out, so I'm like, come hang and come play and compete with us. So yeah, so it'll be exciting to get more ninjas out there for sure.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tiana. I really appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thanks for having me.